In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It's not uncommon for me to be around people, especially when I'm dressed in a cassock and have my cross on, for people to say something that is not exactly something that you would normally say in polite company if you had enough sense to not to say it. But then they realize that they said it in front of me, and they say, "Oh, I'm sorry, Father." Or, you know, at work sometimes this happens too. "I'm sorry, Mr. John," I'll hear sometimes. Because they realize, they said this in front of someone who's a clergyman, and that bothers them that they would say that. And when we're in church, we of course know that we're supposed to maintain a certain level of behavior. Some of us perhaps maybe could work on that a little bit more. But we all have enough sense to know that we wouldn't come into church and start shouting profanities, flipping people off. We certainly wouldn't engage in sexual immorality in a church because we would know, "Oh, that's really bad. You know, that's something that God's going to get me for if I do that." Well, in the epistle towards the end that we just heard, St. Paul tells us that we are a church ourselves. Everywhere we go, we're taking something sacred with us. And so that same sense of, "Oh, I shouldn't do that," should follow us wherever we go. He says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." It's interesting that St. Paul uses the phrase, "Know ye not," about 12 times in his epistles, but 8 of those times are in this first epistle to the Corinthians, because the point that he's making is you should already know this. "Know ye not? I've already told you these things. Come on, man. You know I've told you this. You should know better." That's basically what he's saying. And St. John says that here he's alluding to something that he's going to get into in more detail later on, and that's the problem of sexual morality in the Church of Corinth. He begins in chapter 5 to get into that issue in much greater detail. But the point is that You wouldn't dare commit sexual immorality inside of a church, and if that's the case, you should also not dare to commit sexual immorality at all when you're a Christian, because you yourself are a temple. Now, he does use the word plural, and so it's not the idea that it's just me and Jesus, and I'm a temple all by myself, I can stay home, I don't need to go to church. It's we as a group are a temple of God, but we are part of that temple. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, and so everywhere we go, we should have that sense that we have to live like Christians. Then he says, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and again the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain." Now you might wonder why he suddenly is switching his focus from sexual immorality to the question of true wisdom versus pride and vanity. But the fathers tell us that sins are connected to one another like a chain, just like the virtues are connected one to another like a chain. And pride opens us up to other sins. A proud man justifies himself, and he excuses his sin. Also, the divisions in the church were driven by pride, and often when someone's spiritual life is in disarray, in other words, the interior spiritual life, what everyone else can't see, is all messed up, they're tempted to substitute for that lack of a real spiritual, healthy spiritual life by getting involved in negative things in the church, looking to other people and finding fault, and fighting with people over usually trivial matters. But also, he connects pride later on in chapter 5 with sexual immorality, and he's contrasting the two, because the fact that you are not doing what you're supposed to be doing should cause you to be humble and mournful rather than to be prideful. He says, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so named, so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you." Now, we'll get into this more on some future day when we talk about that passage, but just to briefly sum it up, what was going on here was you had a man who was in an immoral relationship with his stepmother. We're not given all the details, but I would imagine probably what happened was something along this line. He had a father who married after his own mother had passed away. He had married some younger woman, probably not very distant in age from his son. And then his own father had passed away, and his son had developed this kind of a lust for his stepmother and had entered into a sexual relationship with her. And what St. Paul is saying is this is something that even the Gentiles don't do, and you people are prideful, you people are puffed up, because this wasn't something that was a secret. This was something that everyone was winking at. You know, they're consenting adults, and, you know, after all, it wasn't his own mother. It wasn't technically incest in the sense that a lot of people would define the terms, but it was incest as far as what the law of God would say, because this man had been the wife of his own father, and the law of God forbade that kind of a relationship. And so these people should have been humble, but they weren't. Also, when St. Paul talks about if any man thinks that he's wise, let him become a fool that he may become wise, what he's saying is that you can't really learn much if you think you already know everything. And you have to, as a believer, have a humility about what you know. There's a saying that says that if you don't know something and you're unaware of it, you're a fool. But if you know what you don't know, then you're a wise person. You can be taught. And that's the attitude that we should have. There are certain things that we do know. There are certain basic truths of the faith that we can be fairly confident about. But we should always have a awareness of the fact that there is so much more that we could learn. And also, we should have a realistic assessment of where we are spiritually and not think that we're way beyond everyone else, when in reality we're still struggling often with very basic spiritual issues. Then he says, therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. The Corinthians had been saying, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and then some wise guy would say, well, I'm of Christ. What that means is I belong to Paul, literally, would be another way you could translate this. I belong to Apollos. And what St. Paul is saying, all of these people, everyone in the church belongs to us. And also God has given us great spiritual riches, great spiritual blessings, and a great inheritance that awaits us. But beyond that, we belong to Christ. We belong to one another, and we belong to Christ. And because we belong to Christ, we belong to the Father. But if we want to remain in Christ, we have to have humility, because it's only by humility and love that we can truly be part of the one body of Christ, which is the church. And if we have that love and humility, we will love God and our neighbor enough to refrain from sexual immorality and not defile the temple of God, which temple ye are. Amen.